Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Hard Time. Today's episode of
Resounding Echoes.
Last week, I played music mostly from the year 1929, and yet I did not include three of the most extraordinary pieces from that year. I did not include these pieces for two reasons. The first is that I have spoken about two of these pieces at length in previous articles I have written for this website. The two pieces in question are Gianfrancesco Malipiero's Torneo Notturno, which I wrote about in an article entitled Seven Tuscan Nights, and Alexei Zhivatov's Nonette, which forms the centerpiece of Fragments of Utopia. Both articles were published here in 2022. The second reason for why I did not include the third of these wonderful pieces last week is that it is an opera, and yet again, as I have stated here before, I am at a loss as to how to do justice to such pieces in this present format. The opera in question is arguably Arnold Schoenberg's most neglected major piece, his one-act comedy Von heute auf morgen, here today, gone tomorrow, as I would translate it. An opera which with great wit highlights the difference between being merely trendy and being modern. The excellent libretto was written by Gertrud Kolisch, who 5 years previously had become Schoenberg's second wife. It is fitting that an opera which has as its focal point a married couple seems to have been a real husband and wife team effort, and one gets the sense, or at least I do, that they had a lot of fun putting the piece together. The libretto ends very cleverly and suggestively with the child of the married couple asking, "Mama, was sind das moderne Menschen?" Mama, what are modern people? A question I have often contemplated, and one which I want to ruminate on a little now. When thinking about this question, I always remember something that Elliot Carter said in a conversation he had with pianist Charles Rosen. I am almost certain that it was an off-the-cuff remark, but I have always found it incredibly apposite and quite profound. He said, and I quote, "The modern world is having a hard time being modern. This hard time, this inability to be faithful to our time in all senses and at all levels, is the cause of so many negative aspects of modern life, from the personal to the political. Whether the modern world is better or worse than previous epochs in human history is a moot point. The fact is that for any of us alive today, it is the hand that we have been dealt, and having been born in the modern world, the onus is on us to be modern. Our grandparents and parents lived their lives in their world. We must do the same in ours, not theirs. We shouldn't be looking back or going round in circles." To quote Pierre Boulez, who tweaked something Albert Einstein had said, "Life is like riding a bicycle. You must go forward or else you'll fall off." The richest 1% of the human race owns half of all the wealth on this planet today. And as a corollary, approximately half of the human beings alive today live in official poverty. Most of the other half seem to be perfectly comfortable with, indeed maybe completely dependent on and enthralled to, modern technology, modern telecommunications, modern medicine and healthcare, modern modes of transport and related modern infrastructure, modern accommodation, modern means of entertainment and social interaction, modern means of food production and access to such food, modern economic and information systems, modern working habits, and modern timetables. Yet at the very same time, many, maybe most, of these people construct their lives around and find meaning for their existence in ideas and phenomena that have absolutely nothing to do with the modern world, indeed are in open and antagonistic opposition to it and the principles on which it has been built, sticking out like an enormous and extremely sore thumb. This is what I understand when Carter talks about having a hard time being modern. This highly combustible cocktail, half modern, half feudal, is the cause of so much misery in the modern world. People will say it's good to keep traditions alive. If they are not taken too seriously, they can be harmless enough and even enjoyable. But when taken too seriously, as they invariably are, and used as a refuge from modernity and its stance that one finds meaning for life as an individual and not as part of some imaginary group, they become analogous to someone desperately clinging to a sinking ship whilst obtusely rejecting an offer of rescue, something that allows the living to be governed or enslaved by the long dead, which is distinctly not modern, not even sensible, and very, very far from harmless. It's a huge topic and a complicated one that easily deserves a book to do it justice. So to keep things brief and to get on with the music, I will limit myself to a baker's dozen from a long list of vigorous living fossils from the past, each of which haunts the modern world as a pandemic in its own right. Religion, patriarchy, privilege, tribalism, militarism, illiteracy, intolerance, insularity, superstition, saviors, avarice, conviction, and credulity. Now, let's have some modern music. That was taken from the appropriately tectonic organ concerto of Icelander Jón Leifs. From the crack of doom which separates the North American and the Eurasian plates, let's make our way down south to a somewhat less explosive hotspot of the world, but one which, one morning many moons ago, had sufficient frictional power of its own to totally unexpectedly get me up. We are going back across the Atlantic for our next piece, the first of three from American composers, we will start with some ebony and ivory music. Music from the Piano Variations of Aaron Copland, a composer not especially known for his piano music, but all of it is very worthwhile. Let's calm it down with a piece for string quartet by one of Copland's most gifted peers. It was interesting to read Mike Wheeler's thoughts in his concert review published here on October the 24th, when he wrote that the concert in question was one with, as he wrote, not an obviously crowd-pleasing program. I say interesting because in my years of attending classical concert, what is or what or isn't on the program seems utterly irrelevant to most concertgoers. I honestly doubt if most are even aware or care what's on the program for any concert they decide to attend. It's classical music. It's all the same. That's why they go. The total and joyous familiarity with every note and word they are likely to hear, which is par for the course among those who attend pop or rock concerts, is sadly and only too evidently absent among those who typically attend classical concert. Whether it's boulez or orchestrations of Boney M. doesn't seem to matter to many or most, and whether they do or don't like what they hear, they invariably all applaud indifferently at the appointed time, or very often at an inappropriate time, thus clearly demonstrating that they are listening to a piece they have never heard before, even when it's Bach or Beethoven. Nobody can be expected to know everything, and going to concerts is a great way to get to know unfamiliar and especially new music, but programs are announced well in advance, and it is very apparent that few have the inclination or interest to get to know the pieces on a particular program they are going to hear before they attend a concert. Compared to all the concerts of jazz, traditional or rock music that I have attended in my life, the level of indifferent ignorance to what they are listening to is unparalleled in classical audiences. I also doubt if most classical concertgoers rush out and buy recordings the next day of what they listened to bug-eyed, mouth agape the night before. This has been my typical experience, but I am only too happy to know that it has been very different for others. In contrast to such indifference, the premiere of our next piece in Berlin caused the then critic of the Allgemeine Musikzeitung to write the following. Es klang, als wenn eine Herde Ratten langsam zu Tode gepeinigt wurde und das Wischen von Zeit zu Zeit eine sterbende Kuh stöhnte. It sounds as if a herd of rats is slowly being tortured to death, while from time to time a dying cow moans. If only critics still wrote with such panache, I would gladly pay their magazine's subscription fee. In case you are wondering, the composer of the piece treasured that review. That was Dichotomy by Wally Rieger. I didn't hear any tortured rats or dying cows, just a stream of sensuously magical sound. But that's just me. Judgment Day never sounded like so much fun. That was taken from the Quartetto Intimo by English composer John Foulds. We are going to finish today with two more American pieces, but from the Spanish, not the English colonized part. That was from the first string quartet by Mexican individual Silvestre Revueltas, a man whose life came to an end at the mere age of 40. The composer of our last piece for today died even younger, the result of being murdered by a man at whose trial he was the presiding judge. Alejandro García Caturla was from Cuba, and he understood very well and was inspired in his music to express the African contribution to his homeland just as much as the Spanish. And that's all I have for today. So once again, I hope you found something interesting or enjoyable. And if you did, please come back next time for more
The Sounding.